Colossians chapter 4. We're continuing our study in Colossians. This is the next to last message in this study in Colossians. I will still call out that if anyone has a critical need in the church body, or you need, or you know somebody that has a need, please contact me, or please contact the church, or put it on the Facebook, or even send an email. And we can meet that need. We have people that are wanting to help, and we just need a need. So do that for prayer request. Obviously, if you're here, you can submit the prayer request, as we had some tonight. But if not, you can put them on the prayer chain. You could put them on a text. You could leave a voicemail on the church phone. You can email it. You can even mail it in. We need to lift up and pray for one another. Last week, we talked about the believer's public life, and we looked at verses 4 and 5 and 6 of Colossians chapter 4. And the real issue is that an effective Christian life should be witnessed and seen by others. We are God in the flesh manifest, and we should, and people should see a difference in us. There were two verses. The first one was talking about walking wisely in verse 5. How? You need to walk in wisdom. Why? And to whom? To those that are without. Okay, we're talking about witnessing. That was Paul's ministry, was to be a missionary and a witness to a lost Gentile race. When? To redeem the time. And that means that we need to relate strategically to others and seize opportunities. And we have verses there that can back that up. Then about talking wisely. Talking wisely. It says, let your speech be always. What does that mean? All the time. Not when you think it's convenient. Not when you always. Season with grace, season with salt, that you may know how ye what? Ought to answer every man. And then there were 13 ways that we could speak wisely or talk wisely. We need to speak prayerfully. We need to speak graciously. We need to speak cautiously. We need to speak truthfully. Amen. We need that today. We need that today. It's not what you think, it's what the truth is. And then we need to speak softly, to speak respectively, to speak gratefully, to speak kindly, to speak consistently. Okay? To speak wisely, opportunely for meets the need. Okay? To speak faithfully and speak wholesomely. So there's 13 ways that we can speak, and those would be good barometers or good thermometers for us to see how our speech is going. Is our speech always with grace? Is it seasoned with salt? We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to have flavor and taste, so people will taste and see that the Lord is good. The whole reason, how do people see you? Because their impression of you either will be a benefit or a hindrance to the gospel. If people don't think highly of you, you can't say a word to them and they would listen to you. So we need to walk wisely. We need to talk wisely. So what are friends for? We're going to look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. And there's two passages here based on friendship. And we'll study basically this. That Christian friends are to support one another unconditionally. So when you think of friends, what makes a good friend? If your thing is one that can help me, then you have the bad attitude. If you say, well, they're the other ones that are on Facebook that we just occasionally talk to and we don't have any interaction with, that's the wrong perspective. Good friends are to share one another's burdens. So a friend is someone that will help. A friend is someone that will encourage. A friend is someone that will edify. A friend will be someone that makes you more like Christ, and you'll make them more like Christ. A friend will bring people together, not pin people apart.
Right.
So that's a good friend. Does friendship equal fellowship? No. We have fellowship all the time with people that are friends and people who are not. And the reality of this, we're not going to be close friends with everybody. We're supposed to be friends with everyone. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says this in way of introduction. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the laws of Christ, the law of Christ. That's what friends will do. We share the good and the bad. And, you know, you have that old saying, with friends like that, I don't need any what? Enemies. And there's a lot of that going on in the world today. It's been going on ever since mankind was on earth. So, in verses 7 through 9, one of the characteristics about a good Christian friend, we have someone at the door. Okay? A good Christian friend is that friends share with one another. In verses 7 and 9, it says this. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. We see three characteristics of him right here in this verse. And so what is the first thing when people look at you or people talk about you, what are the first things they think of? This was easy for Paul. He says, look, he says, this guy here is a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. He says, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, i.e. from Colossae, okay? They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Okay? So, friends share with one another. And Paul was going to send these two friends, Tychicus and Onesimus, to Colossae to show what was going on in Paul's life. So, they would know and they would what? Pray for one another. Over and over in this letter, we are seeing that Paul says, I need you to pray for me. Look at verse 3 of chapter 4. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So Paul covets prayers. We all should covet one another's prayers. So, friends share with one another. Now, why? Where do friends come from? They're based on a common background. The translation of the word for Tychicus means fortuitous. Fortuitous means that you are at the right place at the right time to help. Right place at the right time to help. Another translation could be fortunate. Paul was fortunate to have Tychicus in his life. Folks, friends in our life should be fortunate to have friends to come and help us in our lives. Now, we can see their common background. In Acts chapter 20, verse 4, Luke recalls this. It says, and their company unto him, unto Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Sigdunus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. So these people were willing to give up what they had to accompany Paul and help him. They left homes behind, they left families behind, they left maybe jobs behind. because they saw in Paul something that they wanted and something that they wanted more of. In Titus chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychius." So this man, Tychius, is someone that Paul would trust. Paul would trust him to give the message. He knows that he would speak the truth. He knows that he would give the right perception and the right tone of the report. He said, "Be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." And so Tychius becomes Paul's kind of go-to type of dude. Look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus." A true friend is one that will go to where other people say to go. Okay? If someone said, "Hey, will you go down and do this for me?" Would you do it? Would you do it? Tychius was fortuitous to Paul. It was fortunate that Paul had him. And it was based on a common background because they were in the ministry together. And we see here in verse 7, he says he's a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. So there was a common background here. The second one was it was based on common goals. Look back at verse 8 again. "Whom I have sent." So Paul has already sent him various places, and so he's going to send him to Colossae. Remember, Paul had never been to Colossae. Okay? He says, "Whom I have sent unto you for the" what? "Same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." So, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 through 21, talking about Timothy. But this is another issue. Timothy and Tychius were a lot alike. And why did Paul send these people out on these? Because he says, "For I have no man like-minded who would naturally" what? "Care for your state." All these people that travel with Paul, it wasn't for them. It wasn't for their own edification. It was for who they could minister to. And then he says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Okay, you want to be a friend to someone? Then you need to look for the things of Jesus Christ. It's not how you get stuff out of a friendship. Those aren't friendships. Those are abusive relationships. If all you do is get and you never give, that's not a friendship. You may think they're a friend, but you're using them. Ouch! Don't say things like that, but that's the truth. That's the truth. So in your friendships, look at the balance. Is it a give and take? Is it a partnership? Are you ministering together? Are you doing things which are like Christ? So they had a common background. There were common goals here. And then there were based on common ties. Onesimus. Onesimus, if you understand the story of him in the book of Philemon, Onesimus was a slave who ran away. He wound up in jail with Paul. Now, you talk about fortuitous. Here's the thing. He winds up in jail running away. And now he winds up with Paul. And what does Paul do? Leads him to the Lord. Doesn't matter what circumstances you're in. You have an opportunity to witness. And it's a true, tremendous opportunity. And then Onesimus becomes one of Paul's friends. Different social backgrounds, different economic backgrounds, different ethnic heritage, but they were all common in prison. Okay? Onesimus had a right to be there. He was running away. Paul didn't have a right to there. But you know something? All things work together for good to them that are called according to purpose. Remember, Paul and Silas in the Philippian jailer. So, Onesimus is one that he's going to send off though. So he's going to send two people there. Why? Why? Because in the mouth of two witnesses, things are firm. So there's going to be the same thing. There is safety in numbers. And you just can't have one friend. You need to have many friends. So they set two of them together so they had a good, consistent testimony to walk wisely and talk wisely. So in Philemon 10 through 12, there's only one chapter there. It says, I have beseeched for thee, for my son Onesimus. Philemon was his master. Okay? His master. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, who I begotten in my bonds. So when Paul was in prison, he leads him to the Lord. You know, that was what Christ came to release the, set the captives free. Okay? To preach to those that are in prison. Paul was doing what Christ was doing. Okay? Which in time past was to thee unprofitable because he ran away. That dirty scoundrel. He's worth nothing. No, everyone's worth something in God's eyes. Everyone deserves the gospel. In which time was thee unprofitable. Now, profitable to thee. He comes back. He wants to be a better servant and to me. Paul even says, hey, I like keeping him around. He's doing me a good thing here. It says, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowel. So let's look at these two he's asked to send. In Paul's mind, Tychicus was just like him. He was a beloved brother, part of the same family of God. He was a faithful minister, just like Paul was, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Okay? Tychicus' concern was the same as Paul's concern. They had a common goal. He says, he wants to find out what's going on there. He's heard all these things about Colossae. He wants to go find out what's going on there. And then he's going to send Onesimus, which some people would just write off because he's just a runaway slave. But Paul says, hey, he's benefit to me. He says, look at this. A faithful and beloved brother. Boy, you know something? Isn't that the way God changes people? You know, up until the time we got saved, we were running away from God. We were running away from truth. We were running away from everything. Once God saves us, now we can be a faithful and beloved brother in Christ. Okay? And who is one of you? So let's look at this. And so friends share with one another. Are you a trusted friend? Are you someone that you could be counted on to give the message, to do the task? Are you the type of person that when someone thinks about, I need someone to help, you would be the first one to pop into their mind? That's what we're talking about here. And Paul, all his people, he says, oh, I'll send Tychicus and I'll send Onesimus. They are the perfect ones to go here. They're the perfect ones to go here. So friends share with one another. Friends accept one another. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, it says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come to you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. See, they help Paul. They help Paul. Now, there are some interesting things in here, okay? Friends accept one another regardless of circumstances. We already see in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, that Aristarchus was part of that group that was traveling around with Paul. But Aristarchus was in the wrong place at the wrong time, so to speak, when Paul was in Ephesus. It says here, this is the riot that happened. It says, In Acts chapter 19, verses 28 and 29, it says, when they heard these sayings, the issue was is that Paul was starting to lead a whole bunch. There was a revival in Ephesus, and everybody stopped buying the little goddesses of the little idols of Diana. And all the silversmiths and all the metal workers saying, we're losing our business. There's no government bailout. Okay? Shame on them. Okay? And then there's a riot. And everybody, they grab everybody and they all go down to the theater. Okay? The amphitheater. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. But look at the next verse. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, okay, men of Macedonia, Paul's companion in travel, they rush with one accord into the theater. So here they are. They're grabbed by the crowd and they're going in there for a lynching. Now, if you were a friend of someone and then that person got you into that kind of a mess, what would be your natural reaction? Boy, when I get out of this situation, I'm never going to go back with him again. But it gets more. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. Some people say we didn't learn his lesson. I think he just couldn't get enough of God. So, regardless of circumstances, let's look at this one. There's more on this guy. Acts chapter 27, verses 1 and 2. And it went as determined that they should sail to Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus of Macedonia, Thessalonica, being with us. Wow. This is after this event. This is after this event. And so, regardless of what was happening, Aristarchus was a friend because he accepted Paul no matter where he was or no matter what circumstance he was in. But there's even a more interesting name here, and it's the next one. In spite of past disagreements, Marcus is John Mark. And John Mark was on Paul's first missionary journey. Turn over to Acts chapter 13, verses 5 through 13, and we'll see what happened here. Okay? Verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle into Paphos, they found a certain sorcery prophet, a false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, or for so is the name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of God? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell upon him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of Paul. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Patmos, they came to Perga of Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. That's John Mark. Okay? That's John Mark there. Then it gets better. Okay? So here's a man that left Paul on his missionary journey. He becomes later on an item of disagreement. In chapter 15, verses 36 through 41, it says, "In some days after Paul and said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas was determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark." Now remember what had happened. He had left them. Okay? Paul remembered this. Okay? Paul remembered. "But Paul thought it not good to take with him, who departed from them to Pamphylia." So now we know it's the same guy. Okay? "Now we know it's the same guy, and went not with them to the work." Not only did he just not accompany them, he was not involved in the work. He's not like Tychicus, he's not like Aristarchus, he's not like Onesimus. He's had a problem. Okay? "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus." Okay? "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." So we have now John Mark, who left the work, who causes a disagreement, but who can still be essential. Because later on, when Paul writes Timothy, he says this, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, the same guy, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you turn your back on people, if you turn back to God, God can restore broken relationships. God can restore ministries that are sidetracked. God can restore friendships that were broken and contentions and things that were disruptive. Friends, accept one another. See, Paul learned about what John Mark was doing. And he says, you know, it's a good idea. Bring John Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry here. And we can see here in the book of Colossians that he says, "Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you've received commandment, if he come to you, receive him." Not only does he says, hey, he's beneficial, but you need to listen to him. So Paul takes trust that was trashed and places it back into him. God can restore broken relationships.
Amen.
So do you have a broken relationship with someone? You don't think they're any good to you at all or any use to you at all? God can restore that.
Amen.
And we see this right here. So friends, accept one another in spite of circumstances, in spite of past disagreements. And there are friends, and then there are true friends. And the true friends are the ones that won't run away. The true friends are the ones that are not fickle. The true friends are the ones that understand there's a bigger purpose here than just what I can get. And we see in verse 11, and Jesus, who is called Justice, okay? Who are all the circumcision. Hell, remember something here? The Jews hated Paul, okay? For what he did. I'm sure word got around. Now, we don't know if he heard this or not. It says, these, who? Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, and John Mark. Said, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, who have been a what? Comfort unto me. See, God can restore. God can redeem you out of problems. God can use you in spite of circumstances. Don't you want to be the friend that when everybody else gets a weak knee and walks away, you're still stalwart with them? That's what we ask Jesus to be. That's who God says he is. And if we're supposed to be Christ-like, we need to be like Jesus. We need to be like Jesus. So friends, share with one another. Friends, accept one another. And then lastly tonight, friends, pray for one another. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you? Here's another guy from Colossae. Now remember, how did all these people go? Because Colossae was a great trade center and they were on a trade route. Okay? And even though Paul didn't go there, he did go to some of the churches, like Laodicea, and those people went to Colossae and started a church there. Okay? Epaphras is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Have you kind of figured out this? To be friends with someone who is a child of God, you need to be a servant of God. You need to be a child of God too. You need to be like-minded. You need to be part of the ministry. You need to be back up your words with your actions. So always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. And them that are of Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, which are the other cities that are on this trade route, which we talked about when we showed the map at the beginning of this study. So friends, pray for one another. There's the example in Epaphras, okay? Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, as you've learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So they cross paths, and Paul sends him back with this letter, okay? And with other people too, to talk about what their affairs are and try to figure out what's going on with them so they can report back to Paul so Paul knows what to do. So we see the example is Epaphras. Would you not want to be an example? Would you not want to be the one that comes first to mind to go and be a faithful bearer of news, that can be trustworthy, to have a like-minded and all those type of things? Friends, pray for one another. Here's the example. And let's look at the extent that to which we should pray. We've gone over prayer the last couple of weeks. We talked about the specifics of prayer. We talked about how to pray and all this other stuff. But now let's look at his example here. There's four things here to look at. When you pray effectively, you need to understand that there's a need. Mm-hmm. That there's a need. Okay? Epaphras, who is one of you, he understood what was going on in Colossae because he was one of them. Okay? One of them. He had a common background. And so he understands that there's a need in that place. And then that need, develops into determination to continue in prayer. So it goes on in this verse, it says, laboring fervently for you in prayers. So even though he's not there yet, he is as if he is there in spirit praying for them. Knowing where they're coming from, knowing where they are, and he can relate to them even though he's not there, and he's praying for their circumstances. Isn't that what we're going through right now? We need to pray for one another in church. We're all going through the same circumstances because we see a need. And it should drive us to a point that we would pray even more fervently. He says, laboring. That means working at it. It's just not one of these shallow little prayers. It's something that you work at. You know, if you start praying more, you'll get better at praying. Okay? If you start memorizing more, you'll get better at memorizing. If you start reading more, you'll get better at reading. If we practice something, we get better at it. And Ephrachus basically saw this need. He knew where they were and what they were doing. And he said, hey, I'm going to labor fervently for you in prayer. And it turned into a determination to continue in prayer. The third thing was, it was evident to those around him. Because in verse 13, he says, for I bear him record. So Paul was a firsthand account, firsthand witness of what was going on. He says, he's laboring fervent for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's exactly what we should pray for. That is exactly what God's will is for the life. Do you think God would answer that prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's evident to those around. It was evident to Paul. So evident that he writes it in this letter. And then lastly, it becomes a passion. It becomes a passion. He says that he hath a what? Great zeal for you. You know, maybe some of you tonight, well, I just don't think I can get involved. You don't have a passion. You don't have a passion for the ministry. Okay? We pray for people to get saved, but do you witness? You don't have a passion. You have an acquaintance. You're not a true friend. A friend is someone who will intervene. A friend is someone that will stay by you. A friend is someone that will come to your mind first off and say, I know that person will do this. Do you have a zeal for the ministry? All of these people that Paul was talking about tonight all had something in common. They were faithful ministers. They were faithful people. They loved God. They were willing to go through circumstances. They were willing to go through all this other stuff, no matter where it would take them. And they were trusted by Paul. So tonight, what kind of a friend are you? Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We see in this list of people who stuck with Paul, people who left Paul and came back, people who caused disagreements, people, and they all came back and they all helped Paul, and they were all a comfort to him. I want to be a friend like that. I hope you want to be a friend like that. Christ can make us friends like that. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask, help us, Lord, to be a friend like you. Help us, Lord, to be able to go through circumstances, to see your goal, to have your will, to stand with one another, to fulfill your law. Lord, help us to love as a true friend would. Father, if someone does not know you tonight as their Savior, Father, I pray that they would realize that you died on the cross for their sins. You were buried and you rose again. And that they would ask you to forgive them their sins. And that they would ask to accept you as Savior. Lord, for us as Christians, help us to be better friends. Help us to be faithful servants. Being sold out to you. And help one another in time of adversity. And we ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.